Hi, welcome to Lighthouse Vineyard Church. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to know more about us, feel free to visit us online at lighthousevineyard.church. Enjoy the message.
Hello, everyone. My name is Clint Schwartz. I'm the lead pastor here. Thanks for being here today. And if you're watching online, also thanks for tuning in as well. Hey, one of the, about this ministry and all that God is doing through it. Okay, to introduce our message today, watch this video.
A mosque, a church, and Abu Dhabi's first purpose-built synagogue. Three deeply reverent and architecturally stunning places of worship in the heart of the United Arab Emirates. A project aimed at fostering interfaith dialogue and understanding. I sat down with the president of the Abrahamic Family House, Mohammed Al-Mubarak, and world-renowned architect, Sir David Adjei.
Mohammed, what does it mean to the UAE?
You have the UAE today, over 200 nationalities that call the UAE home. So we need to make sure that all these nationalities have the comfort to call this place home.
Why was Sir David chosen as the architect?
He was chosen because of what's inside, right here. You know, his human perspective. And to accomplish a project like this and understanding the essence of Islam, the essence of Christianity, and the essence of Judaism, it needed an individual that can open his heart for that.
Can you just take me through the project as it evolved?
In my work, I'm always interested in really looking at the roots of things and the histories of things. But this allowed us to almost go back to the reset, to go back to ground zero about what brings people together, what makes their faith, what makes their culture. And it was just so enriching for the studio, for my team, for myself, diving into the essence of Islam. The essence of Christianity, the essence of Judaism.
Glory be to the one God in his great compassion.
And really understanding what these things have meant in the way in which human beings have constructed them over millennia.
The Abrahamic Family House was inspired by the Principles of Human Fraternity, a document signed by the Pope during his visit here in 2019.
This document was signed by Pope Francis, by Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayyib, the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, under the patronage of His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, the President. And it's a document of world peace. It's a document of coming together. It's a document that reminds us what humans are supposed to be doing, understanding each other, accepting each other, and looking forward to a much brighter future.
So had anyone heard of the Abrahamic Family House before? See, that's one of those things that it happens overseas, so we don't really hear about it much. But this was open to the public in March, earlier this year. And it brings together the Jewish faith, the Muslim faith, and the Christian faith because they all draw their heritage from their forefather Abraham. So Christians believe that Jesus was a descendant of Abraham through Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. Muslims believe that Muhammad was a descendant of Abraham through his son Ishmael, and then the Jewish people all find Abraham as their direct ancestor through Isaac and Jacob, and that's what makes them Jewish. The main message of the Abrahamic house is that we are all children of Abraham, right? We are all descendants of Abraham, and that we all worship the same God. This is another piece to it, the God of Abraham. Now, the message is fine in and of itself, but it supports a subtle lie in our society that is beginning to take root, that all religions worship the same God, the Creator God, and that they have different ways of worshiping Him. Have you ever seen this bumper sticker coexist? There's definitely a lot of different versions of this bumper sticker. The C stands for the Islamic crescent moon. The O is the peace sign with the gender signs added. The E is the Hindu Om symbol. The X is the Jewish star of David. The eye has the pentagram for the dot that's used for magic incantations and satanic worship. The S is the yin-yang symbol representing the Chinese religion of, is it Taoism, Taoism? I don't know how you say that. Was it Taoism? All right. And then the T is the Christian cross. Now, the general idea of coexistence is fine. We should try to get along with others regardless of what they believe. But again, there is a subtle lie interwoven within it that all religions are the same, and it doesn't matter how you believe or how you worship, that we will all find our way to heaven on our own. This message is being taught around the world, right? It's being taught around the world, but it's also being taught right here in Elkhart and in South Bend. Has anyone heard of the Unitarian Church? Yeah, there's a Unitarian Church locally here. This is from their website. Unitarian Universalism is a faith tradition which encourages each individual to develop a personal faith. It draws from many different religions in the belief that no one religion has all the answers and that most have something to teach us. From Judeo-Christian heritage, we take the teachings of the Bible and Jesus. From Buddhism, we take the power of meditation. From Judaism, we take the belief that working together, we can achieve peace and justice. From Native American and other earth-centered traditions, we take respect for the earth and reverence for natural cycles. And from humanism, we take the belief in reason and direct experience of the sacred. Now, there are only about 1,000 Unitarian churches, I believe, here in the United States, and maybe even around the world. But what their message is saying, that all faiths are equal, I believe is going to grow in affluence in the years to come. In the last days, I believe that those who don't coexist with others will be seen as religious extremists. And if we don't buy into this idea that all religions are the same, I believe we will face persecution. And I believe that that will be the time when many Christians will fall away from their faith. Because we will be pressured to give in to a pseudo-faith, a sort of faith, right, that is more culturally acceptable. Paul predicted this day in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He says, this is in the King James Version, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come," the day when Jesus returns, "that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." So Paul is saying that the last days won't come until there is a great falling away, a falling away of believers that are following Christ today. 1 Timothy 4 says this, "The Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron." So again, there's a prediction that many will fall away. And then Jesus spoke of that deception in the last days in Matthew chapter 24. He says, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." So not able to deceive those who are making it to heaven, but will deceive many, many others. So the reality is, in the last days, many will be deceived by a great unifying false religion. And I believe we are approaching those last days. We can see this happening on the horizon as this lie is being promoted around us. And the lie is this, that there is one God, but many different pathways to him. So we're continuing our message series titled Truth and Lies. And each week we'll take a look at a lie in our society that is being taught or pushed as a truth, and we'll compare it to the Word of God. And last week we had a message titled, "Doesn't God Want Me Happy?" And if you missed it, you can still watch it online. But for today, you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. That's where we'll be. Now in this section, right beforehand, this is the night that Jesus is going to be arrested, tried, and crucified. They had just finished the Passover meal. Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. He had stated that one of the 12, Judas, was going to betray him, and he even prophesied that Peter would deny that he knew Jesus three times. So he's talking about trouble to come. And then he states that he would be leaving them, personally leaving them. And the disciples are distraught, but then Jesus reassures them that this won't be the end of the story. All right, so John chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So today's message is titled, "Are There Many Pathways to Heaven?" You know, the lie is that there are many different pathways to heaven. So we're going to look at this scripture today and try to answer that question. But first, let me pray. So God, I come to you and I pray that you would help me to communicate your truth today. And Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to receive from you. Holy Spirit, come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, your first point, it's kind of obvious. The truth is, there is only one way to heaven. Amen? There is only one way to heaven. And we have to have this truth embedded into our souls so that we can fight the lie that is going to be pervasive in our culture. It's already starting to permeate. But we have to be able to stand on this truth and know it from the inside out. And not only for us, but for our children and their children. We have to be able to communicate this truth. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He made it very, very clear. There is no other way to God who is in heaven except through him. Now, when I was growing up, many of you that are older like me, you understand this, before we had GPS, right? If we wanted to go to somebody's house, or they would tell us what road it's on, and we kind of knew what direction it was or where the town was at. And so we get in our cars and we just start driving in that direction, right? I mean, we just start heading that way. If it was east, we'd start heading east, and we would eventually find our way there. I don't know how we did it, right, Louie? I don't know how we did it, but we eventually found our way there. And then when we meet together at that person's house, we kind of say, "Well, how did you get here? How did you get here?" Because there were many different ways to get there, right? There were many different ways. When I was in Africa recently, we would drive out an hour and a half into the refugee camp. And as far as I know, there was only one road in to the refugee camp and one road out. Now, it's a terrible road. And so I wish that there was another way we could get there. But every day we would go from our city that we were staying in out to the refugee camp. There was just one road in and just one road out. What Jesus is saying when it comes to heaven, there aren't many roads into heaven. You can't believe this way and go that way. You can't practice this religion and make it in. He is just saying there is one road into heaven, and it's through him. It's through him. That's it. The only path is through Jesus. Now, the Muslim faith, they accept Jesus as a prophet, but not the Savior of the world. The Jewish faith, and I was doing some reading on this, they don't accept Jesus as a prophet, the Messiah, or the Son of God. In fact, in one of the interviews, they asked a Jewish rabbi, "What do you think of Jesus?" And his response was, "We don't think about Jesus." I mean, they just totally disregard him. The Christian faith is the only faith that accepts Jesus as the pathway to heaven, as the Savior of the world. Now, Jesus himself said, "I am the only way to heaven." And I love this. C.S. Lewis, I quoted Mere Christianity a few weeks ago, but he said this in his book, about this topic. He says, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Man, that's powerful. That's the truth. That's the truth. The Bible doesn't support this idea of many pathways to heaven. It's only through Jesus. And so that means that Muhammad's view of Jesus being a prophet or only a prophet is wrong. That Buddha's teaching is missing the point, and that the Jewish rabbis in Israel today are missing the Messiah the same way their ancestors did 2,000 years ago. Here's your feeling. Jesus was either mad, bad, or the Son of God. There is no alternative. So the truth is, there is only one way to heaven. And if we choose to believe in God, believe in Jesus, then that belief in God should change us. That's your second point. It should change us. We should act differently. We should be somebody different. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. He's saying, you believe in God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's good. Believe also in me. So what does it mean to truly believe in God and believe in Jesus? See, most religions, they believe in the Creator God, and some even believe in the God of Abraham. And I believe that over time, more and more scientific discoveries are going to come through that are going to point to the fact that this wasn't all a mistake or happenstance, that there really was a Creator who created this world. And so I think that over time, it's going to be scientifically acceptable to believe in a Creator being. But just believing in a Creator God is not going to be enough. Jesus meant something more when he said, believe also in me. He's saying that if we believe in him, it should change everything. It should change everything. So a friend of mine, Steve Good, he died on July 4th of 2020. Steve attended church here. And Steve was an avid Ohio State fan. And I'm sorry for all the Notre Dame fans here today. I wrote this in before the game. And as a Michigan fan, I wasn't super excited to see Steve on Sundays after a Michigan loss, right? It wasn't a lot of fun. Steve would let me know that Michigan lost. But then, and it was even worse when Michigan and Ohio State were going to play each other, right? The game was coming up. And Ohio State seemed to, the whole time I knew Steve, it seemed like Ohio State beat Michigan every game. And so on that Sunday following the game, I'm the pastor, I still had to come to church. And so I'd come to church, and Steve, you could see him from a mile away. He'd be like the first one here. He'd have on, the Ohio State jersey and a hat and red and white everywhere you looked, I love Steve. But he became known here in the church as Ohio State Steve. I mean, that's that we were like, you know, Steve, like, which Steve are you talking about? Oh, Ohio State Steve. Oh, yeah, we know. That's, we, everybody knew, right? Some of you know, right? Remember Steve Good, Ohio State Steve. Some of you are going, oh, his name was Steve. I know who you're talking about. Steve believed in Ohio State, right? He believed that they would win every game that they played. And it changed him. It affected him. And everybody knew that about him as well. Well, if we believe in God, I mean, if we truly believe in God, it will affect us. It'll change us. It'll be evident. Believing in God is more than an intellectual decision that, oh, I believe, yeah, God created the world and, yeah, Jesus was his son. It's more than that. In James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. The demons believe in God. They believe in Jesus, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to be in heaven with us one day, right? The demons believed in God, but it didn't change them. They still resist the agenda of God. And as a result, they won't be in heaven one day. We see, we can believe that God exists and it still won't change us. It won't change us. It won't have an effect on us. But our belief in God should change us. Let me read one of the most famous verses in the Bible, if not the most famous verse. But I would say the most underexplained verses in the Bible as well. John 3:16. Many of you know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so it makes it sound like all I have to do is just believe that God exists, that Jesus came and died, and that's it. I just believe it. I do whatever I want, and I'll make it to heaven one day. That's what it sounds like. See, if we truly believe that Jesus is who he says he is, though, it will change us. Now, this explained a little bit more. If you read down a few more verses, John 17, chapter 3, verses 17 through 21 says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. But then he gets into verse 19. He says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because of their evil, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Jesus talks about those who are in the light and those who are in the darkness. He's basically saying that if you believe in me, you'll have eternal life, but it's going to affect you. You're no longer going to walk in the darkness. Verse 21 says, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Those in the light live by the truth. And if we truly believe in Jesus, there will be a difference in how we live our lives. We will live by the truth. We will reject darkness. We will come into the light. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Living by the truth, coming into the light, that means that we hold to the teachings of Jesus. This is what it means to believe in Jesus. See, if we really believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of the world, that he lived a perfect life and lived and died a gruesome death for our sins, that the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead on the third day, and that today he is sitting at the side of the Father and interceding for us, and that one day he is returning as the Lion of Judah to take back this world by force. If we really believe all of those things, then we can't help but submit to him, right? We can't help but try to do what he tells us to do. This is what it means to believe in Jesus. It's to follow his teachings, to live by the truth. Paul simplifies this in Romans chapter 10. He talks about being saved. We hear this word, being saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means to be saved from eternity in hell. That's what we're talking about. To be saved from the punishment of our sins. And he says this. He says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So Paul simplifies this down to two things. He says we need to declare with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, right? Lord of us and Lord of the world. And we have to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We basically have to believe that God is who he said he is. We can't accept him as the savior of our lives if we don't believe that he really lived and died and rose again. So we have to believe that. But then he adds that part. He says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's so, so, so very important. Confessing Jesus is Lord means that we're not. We can only have one. And so if you believe in Jesus, then we confess him as Lord and we submit to him. Now, what does that mean? That means we do what he wants, not what we want, right? That is the struggle that we all have. I have it every day. You know, I know what God wants me to do, and yet I try to do what I want to do and try to ignore it, right? I mean, am I the only one? That's the battle that's within us. God is not expecting perfection. None of us are perfect. But he is expecting submission. That is an expectation. If we believe in God and if we believe in Jesus, then we will do our darndest to submit to him. Here's your last villain. Belief equals faith and lordship. You can't have one without the other. We have to believe and we have to submit. So the truth is, there is only one way to heaven. And the truth is that belief in God should change us. It should change us.
Well, that's it for today's message. We hope we helped you know God more intimately. If you feel our ministry is helping you spiritually, feel free to find out more about us at lighthouseofinner.church. Thank you for being part of our family, and we will see you next time.